I don't know about you, but I frequently have a hard time imagining the Magi as kind of real, actual historical figures. They seem kind of, well, I can't separate them from my experience of them in Christmas pageants. So when I think of the Magi this morning, I can't get the image out of my mind of Gary Burdick and Ken Kruschka and Bob Velasquez singing their way down the main aisle, "We three kings of Orient are," carrying their fake gold and their make-believe myrrh and their phony frankincense and presenting it to the Straevsky Holy Family, who are suddenly blessed with a little toddler in addition to Jesus, who's wandering around Max saying to them, "Be careful, even the infant Jesus is gonna grow up and be like this." No, I have a tough time thinking of the Magi as kind of actual, real historical figures. And you know, so do about half of the biblical scholars and theologians in the world. We don't know if this is a kind of "you are there" kind of videotape it sort of an event, or if it's metaphorical, a theological story told to give us a point, but not necessarily to tell us history. And it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, not for the purposes of our discussion today. And I think it doesn't matter at all. You know, there was a very popular book a few years ago by Rick Warren. I bet a lot of you read it, The Purpose-Driven Life. And that book opens famously with this sentence. It says, "It's not about you." So this morning, forget that, because this story, it's about you. It's about me. It's about us chickens, as I told the kids. This is a story about how we, who had no part in Israel's story of redemption, became part of that story. It's about us finding our way from outside the place of God's reign of blessing and peace and into God's reign of blessing and peace. And so put yourself there in the East with the Magi, with the wise ones, and ask yourself, have you seen a star? Now, I'm not asking the Reverend Steve Hall, because I know he's out in the backyard freezing and looking up at stars in this telescope. But I mean, have you seen a star? And again, get metaphorical, or maybe literal. Maybe when you're out in the cold and looking up at a starlit sky, you are really seeing a star. It's one of those take your breath away moments, and you are seeing a star that tells you, there's a God who's out there who cares about me, that somehow in the midst of this vastness, there's something that just takes my breath away. Maybe it's on the stillness of a quiet lake, mist-covered in the morning, that there's the star that you see and just calls to you and says, something's transcendent here. Something beyond me has caught my attention. Surely, when the nurse brings that squalling newborn and places her in your arms, that's a star you can follow. You walk through the forest glen and leaves crunch under your feet. Maybe that's your star. But maybe it isn't in nature. Maybe it's in your history. Maybe it's in your life, that something calls to you and says, this is a moment of breakthrough. This is a point that tells me I am not alone in this. This is something that calls me forth that says, there must be more. There must be more. I'm not alone here. It can be a moment of elation. It can be a moment of spiritual transcendence, but it could also be a moment that drives you to your knees in pain that says to you, boy, there's a star. There's something beyond me. The story of the Magi, of course, is unique because they saw the star. You know, how did they see it? They saw it by paying attention. You know, I think we miss an awful lot because we're blinkered, we're blindfolded, we don't pay attention to the stars that are shining right in our lives, and so we never get a chance to make the journey that they made. So the very first thing we have to do is open our eyes, open our senses, be alert to God's call, be alert to God's presence. And then, you know, you can't follow the star while you're sitting down. You have to get up, get on your horse or your camel, and you've got to go. I mean, they follow, paradoxically or ironically, they follow, you know, the same path that Abraham took, these wise men from the east, from the Ur of the Chaldees, there in the Euphrates Valley. They followed the same path that Abraham followed to come to Canaan, to the promised land. And there's something in that. And I'll tell you what's in that. And that is, if you're going to follow your star, you have to actually follow. And to follow, it means you have to leave. And leaving is never easy business. Leaving our homes and our families, leaving the way that we've been thinking, leaving the way that we've been living, leaving the things that we've been afraid of, leaving our despair and following hope. None of those things are easy. But that's the pathway of faith. But for those who see the star, open their eyes and begin to follow, it's amazing how the path just opens up. And the wise men found themselves in Jerusalem, and they went, as logically one would, to the temple when you're looking for a king. They go to the palace, and they encounter, of course, the worst person they possibly could, Herod. And they innocently or stupidly, they ask him, where is the king that's been born? And he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, we know that story. We won't go there at the slaughter of the innocents. You're familiar with it. You know what kind of a sneaky creep he was. But they got as far as they could until they saw the light of Revelation. And you know, as we follow these signs, these in-breaking moments of God's touching our lives, sometimes we need more than just a shot in the dark. Sometimes opening the pages and learning this love story that God has said to us. To know the story of God's faithful walking with Israel. God's in-breaking in Jesus the Christ, his death, his resurrection, and the faithful life of the Spirit in the people of God who have faith in his resurrection. Reading that story, it takes you further down the path. But it doesn't get you home. If you're going to be led by the light to get home, ultimately, as the Magi, you have to find the Christ. You have to encounter the real thing. Not just intimations of him, not just a sense of him in your gut, but also, and not just words about him, but the indwelling presence of God. You find that. You've got the real thing. Like, in the holy people of God, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, here in this place where the radiance of God's presence is right here in these pews, left and right of you, in front and back of you, in the sacraments that God gave us to share God's presence with us, in the water, in the wine, and the bread. But until you're radiant, as Isaiah said, till you're radiant with the light, till you rise and shine, you're not home yet. Until God has made home in you, you haven't found your way home. So that's our invitation. It is about us. It's about us to follow the stars that God places in our pathway, to learn all that we can in the story that God has told us, and to find our way home so that God might be at home in us and among us. Amen.